Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to animal cruelty, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
What do you mean, toxoplasmosis? I've got these 15 cats of my own free will. I'm Andy.
I'd say you're perfectly safe looking this gift horse in the mouth. I'm Adam.
Wait a minute. Is this cat supposed to come with mushrooms? I'm Kelly.
What's the number one place to avoid going if you're deaf? I'm Sean, and find out today on Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You may or may not know this, but our podcast has now been on the air for 6 months. So congratulations, lady and gentlemen.
Hooray for us.
So I thought this would be a good time to take a moment and look back at some of the episodes we've done and maybe bring up some things that we missed or have happened since then, and maybe just take an opportunity to talk about us a little bit and why we're all here.
I mean, if we're talking about bringing up, let's not do vomit.
I'm here because you asked nicely.
So I don't have a quiz today because we're talking about all the subjects we've already talked about, so you would already know all the answers.
No, I've already forgotten, so go ahead.
Quick, Adam, name some sales.
Sales?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a fire sale. I think there's a President's Day sale.
Oh my God, we're having a fire sale.
I thought we would start with trains. What about trains? So an attentive listener who goes by Pavel Lishin on Twitter brought this story to my attention, and I'm astounded that I managed to overlook this in my train research because it's a great story. So here's the deal. Trains by themselves are tremendously big and loud, and on top of that, they come equipped with an excruciatingly loud horn to warn people miles up the track that they are coming. So if you are unfortunate enough to be hit by a train, it's almost never a surprise.
Oh God, I can see it coming miles away, but somehow my foot is stuck.
It's a Russian stealth train.
However, in March 2006, 18-year-old Tara McAvoy, the reigning champion of the beauty pageant Miss Deaf Texas,
oh no,
was walking home along some train tracks. The conductor saw her and blew his horn several times to warn her, and when she didn't respond, he engaged the emergency brake.
The gall on this girl, after all those horn blasts.
However, trains do not stop in a hurry, so sadly, the snowplow on the front of this 65-car-long train caught Miss McAvoy completely unaware in the back.
I feel like that's like... That should be like first day stuff for when you're deaf, is like stay away from train tracks.
She thought that the train tracks were unused. She was just walking along, signing the words to her favorite song.
Yeah. Her favorite what now?
Oh, yes.
All sorts of problems with this.
I just imagine her standing like, do you feel something?
Can't sign properly because I'm shaking so much.
So paramedics rushed to the accident, but tragically, Miss McAvoy died at the scene.
I'm just... Okay. Why couldn't she be Miss Texas and not Miss Deaf Texas, for one?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, one, like Adam pointed out, if you're deaf, probably not on the train tracks.
There should just be places that you just don't go. And train tracks are one of those places that you're really not supposed to hang out in anyways.
More hearing than train-related. I've heard that they have sort of similar problems or are trying to combat similar problems with electric cars.
Yeah.
Where they're quiet. People don't hear them come out. And like, there's been discussion of laws to make them make noises just so people will know when the car is coming.
I know that Tesla added a setting for your car to make noise while you were idling because people found it unsettling because they're so used to other cars.
It's the sound of a goose honking.
Yeah, can I customize my car sound?
Just like insects chirping, like pleasant white noise.
Hey, I'm a car.
Look out. Hey, I'm a car coming down the road.
Honk, honk.
Does anybody else have any other stories about trains?
No, I've got stories about deaf people, not trains.
Are we also doing personal stories?
Yeah, sure.
What this made me think about when we were asking, like, why was she walking down the train tracks, is so often in some places, it's hard to tell whether they're active train tracks or abandoned train tracks. Because there are tracks all over the place that just aren't used. We had a lot of them in Chicago. And there was this one track that went across the road and it was all overgrown. It was, as far as I could tell, completely out of use, but it still had the railroad crossing things that would go down over the road.
Yeah.
And they would just go down for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes at a time. And we would just have to sit there in the car while no train came.
Yeah, but you don't want the one time you're like, okay, let's just go through.
No trains ever come through here.
Yeah. Anybody else ever jumped on a moving train?
No.
No.
Just me then?
You've jumped on a moving train?
Yeah. So when we first moved to Seattle, there's an industrial part of town, and I worked at a place that had no parking, like anywhere near it. And the most available parking was a couple blocks up the road, but it was on the other side of a set of train tracks. And I was running really late one day, and I was trying to find a spot, and I couldn't find one. I finally found one. I'm running to work, and a giant, like, I don't even know, like 200 car train is slowly trundling down the track in front of me at about, I don't know, 2 miles an hour. And I look and I can't see either end of this train. Like, it is so long and I'm already running late. And I was just like, man, fuck it. And I just jumped up on the train, made my way through it and hopped out the other side.
Okay. Well, Sean's dead now. He's a ghost with us.
It was going like 2 miles an hour. I could literally walk faster than this train.
I mean, it sounds cooler than it probably looked.
Yeah.
Listeners, you'll note that he always charges the least to put himself in harm's way.
It's true.
Yeah, and then a slightly other story. Just recently here in Washington, Amtrak's just been having a bad go of it. They opened a new line that went down through Oregon, and on, I don't know if it was the maiden run of the train or one of the first ones.
It was definitely the first day.
Yeah, this train was going along the track and just went too fast and just shot off the end. And they had to shut down the track for a few months. Luckily,
was that the one that kind of fell off the overpass?
Yeah. And a coworker of mine was actually going to go on vacation to visit his family down in Oregon, and he was going to take that train. He was scheduled to take it like 3 days later.
Well, see, that happened, and then I was on a train like 3 days afterwards.
Yeah. But luckily, they still had the old train that took longer on a different track, and he just took that train. And he was like, oh, do you think it's okay? Do you think it's safe to get on the train right now? They just had an accident. I was like, I used to go in Chicago. I used to fly out of Midway, and there was one time when a plane went off the runway at the end of Midway and like squashed some cars and killed a kid. And I had to fly out of there like 5 days later. And I was like, there is no safer time than right after a big institution like that has had an accident. Because
that's when everybody is on their game.
Yeah. So I was like, this is the time to get on a train.
That's nice casual logic. But there's been three more Amtrak train crashes since then.
Yeah, that's
true. One of
which
had like half of Congress on board.
Well, you know what they say about train accidents. They happen in threes.
Yeah, it's true. But several months apart.
Yeah.
Not like the whole celebrity death thing. No, I haven't ridden a train in a long time, and Adam's stories makes me want to just go down the road on a train to see what it's like.
It's not that bad. Like, besides taking longer than the plane, it's much nicer. You have so much more space.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just go up to Elko.
Yeah. I'd be much more for it if it was a lot cheaper, but, you know, it's still like 60 to 70% the cost of a plane ticket, so... For the amount that it costs you in time, it doesn't feel like a great savings. But it is nice being on a train.
Well, yeah, just go by train. I've been learning in my American history class about how about two people got very rich from all of these people dying building train tracks.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Well, Carnegie was one of the worst offenders.
The guy that teaches you how to speak in public?
Well, he screwed over everyone and killed so many people. And then in the later parts of his life, he's like, oh, shit, what did I do? And he started giving his money away.
There's a local gentleman around here, a Mr. Gates, who sort of has a similar philosophy.
Yep.
He didn't kill many people, to my knowledge.
He didn't screw a lot of people.
Yeah, he did do that. So next, what about cats? So what may be our number one fan is Kelly's dad. which is great. He's one of the more scientifically minded people that I know. So getting his analysis on episodes is always really great. He mentioned that during Cats, we talked about toxoplasmosis, and he brought up something about toxoplasmosis that I had heard of, but I didn't think it quite fit in the Cats episode, but I'm happy to bring it up now. As we briefly mentioned, toxoplasmosis affects humans and cats, but the real victim is mice. Toxoplasmosis makes mice march zombie-like at the closest cat they can find.
Like, I love your cat.
We didn't discuss that?
No. It just does something crazy to their brain that makes them completely reckless and almost suicidal.
I think it makes them attracted to like cat urine or something. Like they seek out cats.
Yeah, they will seek them out and march towards their mouths.
It's a cat dream, except for the parasites.
Yeah, but the parasites don't really do much to the cat, so it's really no great loss.
If a parasite did nothing to me, I still wouldn't want it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Some people think that toxoplasmosis might do something to us.
Makes us like cats more.
Well, yeah, actually. So toxoplasmosis clearly has neurological effect on mice. So it might have that effect on people. So there is a theory that toxoplasmosis can increase the risk of neurological disorders and poor impulse control. So one of the ideas behind this is that maybe crazy cat ladies aren't crazy and then they buy a bunch of cats, but they buy a cat, catch toxoplasmosis, and then go a little crazy and buy even more cats.
Many cats.
They lose the impulse control and they like cats so much more.
Yep. People are just starting to look into this, so it's certainly a possibility, but all we can say right now is more research is certainly needed. But in one study that I found, they tested 166 inmates at a prison in Durango City, New Mexico, and it showed that 21% of the inmates tested positive for toxoplasmosis. Hmm. In a control group from the same area, the average was between 3 and 8%.
Hmm.
So a pretty significant spike, though that was only 166 people. But in a larger study involving over 1,000 just normal people, they basically did a cross study where they tested them for toxoplasmosis, certain neurological disorders like schizophrenia, and poor impulse control. They just sort of compared the numbers across to see if any of those were markers for, you know, having more toxoplasmosis, and they didn't find a significant difference.
Yeah.
So we're still looking into it, but it is an interesting idea.
I was going to ask, can you get extra toxoplasmosis? So like you buy the first cat, it has toxoplasmosis and you're like, you get a little crazy. Next cat, a little crazier.
Well, traditionally, no, because toxoplasmosis, like I mentioned, is sort of like chicken pox. Like once you get it, you don't really get it again. But that's in normal cases. There's always that one oddball that, you know, catches chicken pox 8 times. So
that's why you should infect your child early so they don't get it again later.
Yeah, just rub a bunch of stray cats on your child.
Let's just get started now while you're pregnant.
And there's also questions like, I mean, again, more studies needed, but is it a trigger? So, like, if you're already prone to schizophrenia, maybe toxoplasmosis doesn't cause schizophrenia, but it might increase someone who already has markers, their symptoms, or their tendency to have it act up.
Yeah, put you in an increased risk.
I could just blame a lot of my problems on toxoplasmosis.
You have had several cats.
Mm, and I do have problems.
You do have schizophrenia.
Anybody else have any stories about cats?
Well, we had a cat that was enamored with what we thought was our dog, but then it was just enamored with wanting to get in our house.
Yeah. Because it was confused of which house it needed to get into.
Well, yeah. One of the neighbor ladies adopted this cat for a little while. And because her cat is an outside cat, she was like, all cats are outside cats, and tossed it outside. So we'd get this lovely orange cat at our door going, meow.
It's a very nice cat.
Well, it's a very lovely cat. We just can't have it in here because Alex is very, very allergic to cats.
Tell Alex to get over it.
I've told her she can get the shot. She says, I'm as afraid of needles as Adam is.
Shots aren't as bad as taking blood.
What?
But
how do you take blood without getting a shot?
Well, that's not a shot. Like, it's the difference between a vacuum and a leaf blower.
So you don't like stuff going into you? It's not the needle?
Well, I mean, the stuff going into me, I'm not crazy about it, but it's better,
it's
I guess.
Better than the stuff coming out of him.
Look, oh. we'll go over this more later.
Okay.
In the blood drawing episode. But like we were like, this is a stray cat. Should we call somebody? But eventually the neighbor was like, oh, sorry. This is supposed to be an inside cat and came and took it.
Should have read the instructions.
Well, I don't understand the concept of outside cat.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, you don't understand people that would have an outside cat?
Well, I don't understand buying an animal and going, be free.
Well, because cats can be kind of destructive, depending on the cat. Like, sometimes that outlet is good for them, as long as it's safe for them outside.
Yeah. I guess.
Which it almost never is, but...
Yeah.
Her outside cat
There's
was out
risk.
There when it was snowing, like, a foot here a few weeks ago. It's just one of those things, like, I've never understood a person that goes, okay, I've got this cat. Ah, man, it chewed up my furniture. Must belong outside.
Well, that's not really how it goes.
No, speaking as someone who much prefers keeping her cats indoor 100% of the time and will not have another cat that's permitted outside, if you rescue a cat and it is accustomed to having its way between inside and outside... Mm-hmm. Then you just have endless screaming at the door until you open the door, because that is what they're accustomed to. And they will just cry forever.
I'm not saying one way is the correct way, but like if you have a cat that's used to one way, that is the correct way.
I suppose.
I'm saying the correct way is to keep your cat safely indoors, but sometimes you adopt a cat that won't accept that.
We put our cat outside in the daytime and bring her in at night, but... I mean,
I did judge the across the way neighbor lady for just tossing a cat outside because she thinks that's the natural way. Like, cats belong out here.
It also depends on where you live. I live in a city with lots of cars.
Yeah, if I lived in a city, I would not have an outside cat.
I have a cat follow-up of sorts.
Yeah.
This is sort of a crossover with the inbreeding episode. So I brought up dogs and horses, but I didn't touch on cats, and I really should have, because in a way, we've been... worse to cats than we have to dogs, because we've never bred cats as workers. We've used them as workers, but we've never bred them to do specific tasks.
That's an interesting point.
There aren't specialized cat breeds for specialized tasks. Instead, we've just bred them to be pretty in whatever way we feel at the time. And that's led to, first of all, Persians, who have a lot of the same problems with as bulldogs with breathing and things. But also, we've got our sphinxes and stuff, our hairless cats, who, because of their weird skin condition, which it's a genetic mutation.
Yeah.
They get these terrible fungal infections on their skin.
I didn't know that.
We would kind of look like Alex does love cats. We've been looking into a sphinx breeder, but...
You're just bringing in a mushroom factory.
I'm not saying not to get them. I mean, every animal has its set of associated health problems. But yeah, Sphinx's fungal infections on their skin is a big one. And then we've got the new cats, the Munchkins, that are sort of interesting.
I love those.
With their short little legs, they are prone to this specific back problem, which isn't specific to Munchkins alone, but they are prone to it, which... frequently kills them within 3 months of birth if they have it.
Oh.
I mean, most of them don't have it and don't die within 3 months of birth. But if they do have it, there's a good chance they're not going to make it very long. But the interesting thing about Munchkins is they're sort of protected from inbreeding a little bit, because you can't breed two short-legged Munchkin cats. Because
then you just get a cat with no legs.
Well, the gene that causes the Munchkin mutation, if it's dominant and if a cat inherits two of it, it dies in the womb. You have to breed a long-legged cat with a short-legged cat to get another short-legged cat. Otherwise, you get no cats. So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
So, pro tip, if you're going to get a Munchkin cat, buy a three-month-old.
Yeah. Three-month, one day, please. All right, so for our next subject, what about vomit?
Oh, no.
Andy said no.
Don't worry, this won't be too bad. This was another one from Kelly's dad, and he brought up an interesting fact, which is that horses cannot vomit, at least not under normal circumstances.
If you punch them in the gut real hard.
So cows can, and goats can, and sheep can, but not horses. This is for a few reasons. First of all, when, you know, you swallow, there's a sphincter between your stomach and your throat that keeps stuff from coming back up. And that sphincter is much, much stronger in horses. So it's just hard to get anything past that.
Like a manhole cover.
Second, when the horse stomach is full, it actually expands and puts more pressure on the sphincter. So the more they eat, the less capable they are of doing it, even if they could. And then the last thing is that their stomach is tucked much further up in their rib cage than ours is. So it's sort of hard to put pressure on it because it's just super well protected. So this makes it that horses, for the most part, except for very rare circumstances, they're much more likely to have their stomachs burst than they are to throw something up.
I don't know if that's
not as effective.
No, it's not. It's definitely a bad thing.
Yeah, seriously, that seems like an evolutionary disadvantage.
Yeah, but you want to know something else that can't throw up?
I really do.
I was about to say giraffes.
Yeah, I didn't look into that, but that's a good guess. Rats.
Rats really
can't throw up. But for rats, it's mostly because they also have an extraordinarily strong sphincter muscle above their stomach. But this has worked out well for humanity over the years because it means that if you manage to get a rat to ingest poison, they can't throw it up. So that's one of the reasons why rat poison works so well.
Now I'm very curious as to whether or not giraffes can throw up.
I'll save that for the giraffes episode.
Go.
Yeah, I mean, you'd see it going all the way up.
That giraffe has been barking for 45 minutes.
That almost feels like that thing where it's like you can't lift water in a tube higher than like 37 feet because it starts to form a vacuum. Like, I wonder if giraffes could even do it.
Pregnant women are great at vomiting.
You haven't done very well.
That's true.
And that's all the whatabouts that I had. Did you guys have any about previous episodes?
No, I have looked into to further torture implements. Did I mention the
just
rack?
In your spare time?
Yes, in my spare time, I looked at further torture implements. Did I mention the rack on the episode?
I don't remember.
No, I don't think we discussed the rack.
So there are several forms of the rack. Many of them involve just two cylinders, basically, that would be tied at your feet and your arms, and the rope would go around the cylinders as people cranked them.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, your shoulders would be separated and your legs would be pumped out of place, unless people were very cruel. And then your arms and legs would be torn off. You'd never be torn in half. Well, I was going to say unfortunately, but I guess very fortunately.
I mean, it's got to be either the arms or the legs. I imagine it's probably very rare that they both come out.
All four at once.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this didn't make it on my list of awful torture things, but there were racks that were also on the bottom in your lower back was a roller with spikes. So as they stretched you, the spikes would go like kind of up your back,
yeah,
and continue to pierce you so you'd bleed. This was not popular because it would cause you to bleed out.
Not a popular choice among the people being tortured.
Well, it's like, oh, he died before we could rip his arms off. That was no fun.
Pretty much that's exactly it. That guy died before we could get all the fun out of him.
I feel like whoever invented the rack got like a C in torture school, though. Yeah. Not that it doesn't sound excruciating, but it's just like, what if we just tug on him?
I don't know. The tugging seems pretty bad. I don't like having my legs dislocated.
I mean, you say it's like too simple, but like, you don't want to build a better mousetrap to kill a man.
That's true.
But they did. They built all sorts of better mousetraps.
They already had the rack.
Very terrible mousetraps. They also had the hanging cages. You see those in Pirates of the Caribbean. There are already skeletons in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These were not forms of imprisonment. Those were forms of torture.
Because turns out skeletons don't mind spending all day in a cage.
By forms of torture, I mean execution, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But most of the forms of torture seem to be that. Is that you'd be put in this cage and people were allowed to poke you.
Yeah. And tickle you.
Well, tickling would probably be the least of your worries.
Tickling is also allowed, but frowned upon.
Like, you would be left there as a warning to other criminals, but it didn't seem to stop other criminals, so.
Yeah, that's one of those things, like being stuck in that cage, that I just figure, assuming I can get a hold of water, which I don't know, maybe I can't, but assuming I've got the water thing sorted out, it's like, I've got 3 weeks. I feel like I could do something, you know, just that cage, like shake it down or feel like something.
Yeah, those hanging cages came in many different designs, but it was all just one straight torture where you would just hang there while people laughed at you and poked at you.
It's the laughing that really gets to you.
What other entertainment did you have?
All right. Well, if... that's all the whatabouts that we had. I thought we could talk about us a little bit and how we got here. So why did we start this show? Well, it was sort of my idea. And the thing is, I love the concept of podcasts, but unfortunately, I'm very rarely enamored with podcasts. Like, I'll listen to them for a little while, and then I just sort of fall off and move on to the next one. One of the only ones that ever stuck with me was Caustic Soda. I love that show. And, you know, it ran for a good long while. But after it was gone, you know, I really missed it. And I've been trying to find something similar ever since. And one day I was just like, well, there isn't anything like Caustic Soda, so I'll just have to make something like Caustic Soda. So I took all my favorite parts and tweaked the format a little bit. And then I asked Adam and Andy, who are experienced podcasters, to join me on this adventure. And
did you put the air quotes around that?
Oh, the fart means air quotes.
And Kelly, so that we could have a female consistently on here.
Hi, and I'm a token.
She doesn't have a penis.
Well, that we know of.
I haven't found one. And
point of order, doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the idea behind the show. So we'll see how long we can keep it up. But yeah, that's sort of how we got here. And I thought we could talk about how we all know each other. So going chronologically, I think it goes back to me and Adam met first, I think, when we were 8 years old at a summer camp in Reno.
Yeah, that would be far.
I wouldn't even really call it a summer camp. It was like a
detainment facility.
Like, we didn't stay overnight. It was just like a daytime thing.
Yeah. A child getaway.
Yeah.
And that was a Sparks Rec.
Mm-hmm.
I keep meaning to drive by it and see if it's even still there or what it looks like these days.
Yeah, that's where we met, and we've been friends ever since. And I've always been fascinated by Adam because his sympathy always lies with the villain. Like, whenever we read a book or play a game or watch a movie, like, the bad guy would die and all the people would cheer, and Adam would go, "Oh, that poor guy."
Like, they drove him to it.
And then when I was 11 and Kelly, my wife, was 10. Both of our parents worked at the same vet clinic, and that was where we met. And we both sort of had like parallel lives. Like, we both had a parent that was a vet. Both our parents were divorced and had a second parent that lived in a different state, and we would be back in Reno for holidays. And
it was weird how, like, mirror images you guys were.
Yeah. And as we grew older,
wonder we got along.
And as we grew older, like, every time we would get together, like, whenever we would talk, it was pretty much we'd all done the same things but on different sides of the country. So it felt very cosmic at the time, but now is basically we were just the same demographic at the same
I will tell you that the first time, like, Sean was like, "Oh, Kelly, okay, my friend Kelly's coming in. I really like her. We're going to show her. We're going around Reno. And we went to the mall and all this stuff. And Adam and I, like, we went to Suncoast Movies, if anybody remembers Suncoast.
I do.
It's the thing I remember is Adam and I were looking at all the movies, and Sean and Kelly were only looking at each other.
Yeah. It took a long time for me to piece that one together, but apparently everybody knew but me. But yeah, so that was how we met, and we are now together. And Adam and Andy, you guys met when I was not around.
I should just point out before we get to that is Andy makes it feel really romantic, but I was terribly shy, so I was probably hiding actively behind Sean from Adam and Andy.
Oh, you might have been. I don't know. Like, I remember Adam and I, like, making fun of all... When, in Suncoast Movies had the porno section, but we were making fun of the porno movies at the time, or the anime porno movies, because it was in the section that was relevant to us, which was anime.
Man, Suncoast had everything.
That's true.
And I remember you guys spending pretty much the whole day together, but apart from us.
Yeah.
But with us. At the same time. No, I met Adam in third grade.
Yeah, I went to school with Andy in third and fourth grade. And
I remember I wanted, like, I had no friends because I had just moved out to this neighborhood. And the guy I wanted to be friends with was the guy I saw in music class punching himself in the head.
Was that Adam?
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
It was Adam. I can only assume Adam was, like, the song had something to do with bells, and every time people were supposed to, like, mime doing a bell, Adam went, dong.
I don't remember that.
I spent the last 10 years building up an immunity to punches to the head.
But we were friends for the next 2 years, and then Adam, like, they split the elementary schools.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's weird because I never spent more than 2 years at a school until high school, because I went to Jerry Whitehead, and then we moved out to Spanish Springs. So I did first and second grade at Jerry Whitehead. I did third and fourth at Alice Taylor. And then they built another elementary school closer to me. So I did fifth and sixth at Spanish Springs Elementary.
Yep.
And then I did 2 years at middle school.
Yep.
And we were at the same middle school.
Yep.
And then the same high school.
Yeah. And then so while they were doing that, I was moving back and forth between my parents. So I was in Reno for sixth grade, which I went to the same school as Adam. And
was it fifth and sixth or just sixth?
Just sixth. And we hadn't seen each other in a year or two since we went to that summer camp thing. And we didn't have any contact information. So it just was a coincidence that we ran into each other.
It's crazy that we managed to run into each other again.
Yeah. And then after sixth grade, I left to go to middle school in Arizona where my dad lived. And once again, we didn't exchange contact information. And then I came back to high school in Reno in ninth grade.
Freshman
year. Yeah. Ninth grade. And then I met up with Adam again. And that's when Adam introduced me to Andy. And
I thought you were full of shit.
this is one of my favorite stories. So like we meet in the lunchroom. Adam's like, oh, hey, this is Andy. This is Sean. Hey, you guys. And Andy looks at me. He's like, so you're friends with Adam, huh? I was like, oh, yeah, we've been friends a long time. And Andy goes, I've been friends with Adam since third grade. And I thought in my head for a second, I said, I've been friends with Adam since second grade. And Andy just glared at me. And he was pitted against me from that moment on. But
became bitter rivals.
Well,
Sean kept on telling me about all these glitches he's got in Super Mario 64. I was like, there's no glitches in Super Mario 64, you ass.
It's a perfect game.
And then finally, Sean came over and he came over with Adam. We did one of them sleepovers, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And he demonstrated all these things. It's like, okay, he's not full of shit. Man.
Well, then after that, the next year or next semester or something, Andy and I ended up in the same math class together. And as is per usual with nerds, it was the rest of the class against us. So we had to band together to survive. And we've been friends ever since.
And even Sean and I used to do this thing where we would, like, one guy would draw a stick figure. And then the next guy on the pad of paper would do some, like, kill that stick figure and be like, no, he's alive because of this.
Yeah, it was like a drawing.
And
war.
Draw something. And we'd fill up the whole page.
Yep.
And that was fun. And that, like, that math teacher eventually, the next year, like the year after you left that high school, he and another teacher quit because they both had an affair and ran away together.
Oh, wow.
And the lady teacher's name was Hooker.
I remember her.
And that is how we all met. And
hey, wait a minute! I feel I've only been met in this story.
No, Andy talked about it. We said
yes, but I haven't been able to talk about my meeting of people.
Oh, sure. Well, go ahead.
Please, I was there too. Yeah. Contribute.
No, I was just going to put in a couple things. First of all, that Sean and I actually did exchange contact information every time we broke for the summer, which we'd been doing since 10 years old, but I changed my email address every 5 minutes. so he could never send me more than one email and get a response before I was no longer reachable at that email, because I never told anyone when I changed.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever even got one.
I know I've emailed you at least a couple times. And then I am, as I mentioned, hyper shy. So I would go up and see my dad, which was when I would see Sean, but I would refuse to call Sean because I was convinced he was
too cute.
I was convinced he was being forced to hang out with me by his mother against his will. So I didn't want to bother him. So my dad basically had to threaten my life to get me to pick up the phone and ask Sean if he wanted to hang out. And this would happen once or twice a year, every year. And eventually I was, as Andy mentioned, introduced to Adam and Andy, who I thought were terrifying, and warmed up to them over the space of about 5 years, and now only find mildly scary.
We are mildly scary. I will mention that at one point, my wife, before we got married, was like, you and Adam just have this thing. Like, you talk to each other, and I don't have that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just like,
it's no helping it. Just years and
I've
years.
I've known Adam for years and years, and we do complete each other's sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly and I always say you two sound like an old married couple.
But you're very cute together.
Hmm.
It's good to have chemistry.
All right. So with that, I thought we could take this moment. I know we've touched on these before in past episodes, but this could be good for future episodes. What phobias do you all suffer from?
Well, we'd mentioned one of mine earlier is drawing blood.
So things taken out of you specifically.
Like, I don't like needles in general, but like I do better with injections than withdrawals.
Yeah.
I have a fear of being alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just if you leave me here alone, I will go wild.
Crazy.
I hate it.
Yeah. Come back to find the walls covered in blood and feces.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your poor wife's like, I just went to get milk.
I've gotten better, but I don't like spiders.
Oh, yeah.
Like at this point, I can confront spiders. When I was a child, there was no getting me anywhere within 25 feet.
You owned a tarantula at one point.
I got better.
I'd say that's a lot better. There's a gigantic spider living in your room.
The tarantula was not free. I just gave it crickets and got to watch it eat.
Like, all the tiny spiders that are around houses, I'm not afraid of them because I don't think they can hurt me. Like, a spider that size, I might be a little cautious that he could, like, pop the top off the cage.
The tiny spider's going to get on me. That guy's not going to get on me.
Oh, he could if he wanted to.
He just didn't want to?
Just give him a reason.
Well, as established, I am afraid of large numbers. I'm afeard of it. Well, as established, I'm afraid of large numbers of just about anything, but especially small things that move. Adam and Andy.
We are. She is afraid of us.
Wait, are we small?
No.
You're making those, all those molecules.
I thought you said you'd never tell anybody about that.
Those are two separate and unique fears. And okay. These days I'm terrified of labor, so that's exciting.
Well, that's reasonable, I think.
I think everyone's terrified of labor the first time.
I mean, I hate doing
and probably
labor.
Every consequent time after that, after you tear your perineum.
Well, I'm not gonna test that theory. Just let me tell you, when you see your flesh moving beneath your clothing, it's the miracle of life, folks, and it's creepy as hell.
Well, that does sound just the worst.
Sean has no fears.
Yeah, I'm sort of strange in that I don't get freaked out. Like, I don't know, all the things that people are normally afraid of or bothered by, like being on stage and talking in front of people or small spaces or spiders or that sort of thing. None of that stuff seems to bother me. When I was a kid, it was actually sort of a problem because I didn't have any fear. So I would just, you know, there's that test they do with babies where they put them on like a table that's glass, but like only pressed up against part of the glass. And they will like say, hey, go over there. And they're like, no, I won't. Like, I just marched right out there. No problem whatsoever.
Really cool test.
Yeah. So there's that. But there is one thing that's happened to me periodically throughout my life, which I actually learned about on a previous episode of Caustic Soda. I didn't know it was actually a thing, but it's a Lilliputite. You guys know what this is?
I've probably heard it before since I've listened to Caustic
Soda. It
sounds
like a very small mineral.
Yeah.
Lilliputite.
It is a small thing. So it's this thing that happens sometimes where your perception goes off. So really big things look really small and really small things look really big. And this is happening.
I've heard it called something else, like Alice in Wonderland syndrome or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a couple different names, but I get that sometimes. And it's
I get that as well.
It's super freaky. Basically, when it happens, I just basically want to like render myself unconscious as fast as possible until it stops happening. Mm-hmm. But it happens to me if I get really stressed, which hardly ever happens, and if I get a really high fever. And the last time I clearly remember this when I was like maybe 12, I had a fever of 104 and I was at my stepdad's work, which was this big metal hanger. And I opened my eyes and the metal hanger that I was in was about the size of a bread box. And my dog came running from the other side of the bread box, but he was about the size of a dinosaur. And I looked down at my hands and my hands were huge, but my arms were small. And I just like, I was probably conscious for about 30 seconds. I just like looked around the room and saw this freaky shit and just went, nope, clunk. And I just passed back out. And then when
I've had very fleeting instances of it, but nothing like that.
Do you know what triggers it for you, Adam?
I think it's usually before bed.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, mine's
Whenever I'm about to get sick, like if I start getting up into the 9900 fever, I start feeling insanely guilty.
Oh, yeah?
And the first time this happened, like, I had a small TV in my room, and I woke up feverish. And I ran to my dad. I was like, I feel like I broke my TV. And he goes, you broke your TV? I said, no, but I feel like I did.
But what if I did, Dad?
Then go sit in the corner.
Go pretend you sat in the corner then.
Go feel like you punished yourself.
Well, if we're talking about slightly weird brain things, I have something called synesthesia. No, I don't have synesthesia. We'll
that'd
start
be awesome.
That over.
Yeah,
I wish I had seen synesthesia. That's a superhero ability. No, I have aphantasia. So yeah.
Ooh, I've seen that movie.
Yeah, I have aphantasia too. And aphantasia 2000.
Which means that I can't picture things in my head.
What?
Now, Kelly has told me about this before, and she's a writer, which makes her writing extra special. Actually, because like I can't think about writing something down descriptively without actually picturing
it in my
head.
Well, honestly, that makes the writing make more sense to me for Kelly.
Yeah.
I think
it's all... Yeah, it's all words.
I think entirely in words. And so, like, when I am writing, the rhythms and the textures of the words are a lot more important to me than the specific imagery, which I had to learn sort of over the years not to put together words that sounded good together but didn't make any sense. Yeah, as a result, the sort of stuff I like to read doesn't tend to be highly visual because I don't have images of any of the characters or anything in my head. All I care about is like the story, of course, but also just the way the sentences are formed and the way the prose sounds, because it's all sound and shape to me.
You see, and if I don't have enough description, I just lose, like if I can't picture the character in my head doing something, I lose interest in the book.
Yeah. The thing that Kelly has tried to describe this to me as is that when she pictures a person in her head, she doesn't see a person. She sees a list, like a police description of that person.
Like, it isn't like people-shaped words.
6'2", white,
it's not a
angry
poem.
Right. And then sometimes she'll just forget to make a note of a, you know, factor, and then that's just not part of that person because she just didn't note it down. She had a friend once that she'd known for years and I had met once, and then we were trying to meet them and Kelly was looking around and she's like, I'm looking for someone with red hair, but I can't spot them. I'm like, why are you looking for someone with red hair? It's like, well, they have red hair. I'm like, no, they have blonde hair, which is just very strange to me. You can know someone for years and then I had seen them once and I knew what color their hair was.
Yeah, I can't describe people very well as a result. Like, I can recognize people fine when I see them, which is weird to me, but true. But, like, you know, when they do, like, those sketch artist moments in police procedures, I'm like, how would you know what shape someone's face was? Like, how would you know that? Who makes a mental note of someone's face shape?
I mean, I don't even do that.
I can't pull up a picture of someone I've seen previously in my head. I just have my memory of their specific features.
Cool. Well, that's how screwed up we all are.
Welcome to Screwed Up Corner.
I also used to be afraid of bees.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Because
now he craves bees.
Well, your defense mechanism for bees was to turn into a statue.
Yes.
So a bee would land on you, and you would just—it was like we were playing red light, green light, and you would just stop. And sometimes you would stay like that for upwards of 5 minutes while the bee just slowly wandered around you.
You got to give them their space.
Well, I like that he was so bee friendly in his fear.
Yeah?
Yeah, my fear never hurt any bees.
Ever.
Or any atoms.
I've never been stung. I could be deathly allergic to bees. I don't know.
All right. Well, I don't really have a what are your morals worth this week since we didn't really have a through line. So you guys are off the hook easy.
How much would I have to pay you to eat your fellow podcast hosts?
Like in one sitting?
No, you can save the meat in the freezer.
How cold is it?
And am I going to get caught by law enforcement?
Well, that's up to you.
And people wonder why
I did just read about Ted Bundy.
We all know how your last podcast ended.
And cannibalism, same as all of them.
Well, until then, we'll see you next week. Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at AcidPopPodcast and contact us at AcidPopPodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.